Hello, everyone. Welcome to the People Behind Your Food. I'm Chef Ryan Callahan, and welcome. We're so excited to have you guys back here, and today I have a family friend. Seems like everybody's a friend or a good friend or a family friend. You know, I'm only polling people that I actually know personally onto this show. I feel like that's what I'm doing here, but it's Mia Johnson. I've been promising her to you guys for about a month now. She's in the United States Air Force, so of course, if you are at home right now, you should be giving her a round of applause for her service to our country. Even though her service isn't nearly as dangerous as some people in, like, Afghanistan or Iraq or combat zones. But hey, she has genuine problems and injuries that may have happened and could happen in her line of work, because she is a dental assistant in the United States Air Force, and she is stationed in Germany, I believe in Ramstein Air Force Base. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that too much personal information?
Yeah, you know, you got to hide my identity a little bit more, you know, because there's people out there probably listening to this podcast and they're like, oh, she's on Ramstein. I got to go find her.
Exactly. They're going to be like, knock on your Instagram, like, hey, baby, what's up? Let me send you an eggplant gif. Yeah, it's gross. But so let's start with the quick get to know you questions. So so how old are you?
I am 21 years old.
21 whole years old. What's your favorite movie?
Okay, this is really morbid, maybe, but my favorite movie is Schindler's List, which is also ironic because, you know, I'm living in Germany. But I love Schindler's List so much. It's always been my favorite movie. I've probably seen it like 25 times. I don't know why.
Is it because you live in Germany and it helps you keep things in perspective, or is it the historical context or the acting, or what is it about it?
I think a lot of it is the acting. And then also, this is really funny, but I just like watching sad movies for some reason, because a lot of the like sad things that happen to me in real life, I'm just like, eh, I don't want to think about that. So then I'll just like watch a movie and it's like I'm crying about my problems, but it's not actually crying about my problems, you know? So it's kind of just like, it's a good way to like relieve stress, but not actually deal with, you know, your life.
Right. So you're shifting your issues. It's like, you know, my girlfriend broke up with me and then I watched The English Patient and I cry because the girl dies at the very end. Oh, if you haven't seen the movie, she dies at the very end. But, and then you're crying because, you know, it's so sad, but really you're like, oh, my girlfriend left me, and you're post-processing your emotions while stuffing into someone else's problems. I like that. It seems healthy.
Absolutely. That's what I love.
What's your favorite TV show?
Okay, so I don't watch a whole lot of TV, actually, but when I do have time recently – okay, well, Game of Thrones, obviously, but I can't say that because everybody says that.
Sure.
But there's a show called SEAL Team, which is actually so funny that I love that show because the acting is not great, but it's just kind of cool to watch people do badass things in the military, because I'm in the military, but I've never done like a single badass thing ever in the military. And so it's just like really cool to be like, oh, you know, I could do this.
It's like why people play like, you know, like softball or baseball in like the beer leagues, you know, like I'm not a professional baseball player, but I could watch this baseball game and then try to play it myself.
Right. That's exactly what it's like.
So you're living vicariously.
Yes, absolutely.
So what's your favorite music? It can be style, group, whatever you like.
Okay. Since I joined the military, I've actually been listening to a lot of rap, because, like, I grew up around just, like, a ton of white kids, and so, like, when you join the military, you get, like, all these different backgrounds and people from different cultures, and so, like, I've been listening to a ton of rap lately, and I don't know, like, I probably couldn't even, like, give you, like, names of rappers, but just I'll put on, like, Apple Music, like, A-list hip-hop, R&B, and I'll just play it, and that's, like, what I listen to.
I like it. It seems authentic. You know, sometimes when you grow, as you grow and you age, it's like your taste change. Like growing up, I really like punk rock, and now I listen to jazz and easy listening music because I'm old now.
Yes, I love that. That's great.
So are you a cash or are you a debit card kind of person?
Okay. Well, that's a loaded question, because living in Europe, you always have to like have euro on you. you know, obviously. And so like, I'll carry maybe like 20 euro, but I don't really like buy a lot of, like, I do my grocery shopping on base and everything. So usually it's like, I have a debit card, but I always also have to have euro just in case, because you never know when you're going to need a pretzel or a beer in Germany.
Right.
And a lot of places don't take debit cards. That's why I carry cash, because like a lot of restaurants and even like certain gas stations, like, don't take debit cards. Like, you have to have euro, which is kind of stupid, but yeah, I don't know.
It sounds like a good way to get robbed. You know, like, oh, let's just go pickpocket everybody. Maybe there's a scam in that. You know, maybe that's like a thing, you know, like, we know
there
all these.
There could be.
You know, keep that fluid cash moving around the economy. You know, just steal a little bit here and move it over here. It's a Robin Hood thing.
It's funny because I feel actually so much safer in Germany than I've ever felt like in America. Like, you know, as a young woman, you have to worry. I mean, okay, and there's like sex trafficking is everywhere. You know, obviously it's more of a threat for like terrorist attacks overseas here in Europe, but I really actually feel more safe over here, you know, because not everybody has a gun, you know, and everybody in the area that I live is super young too. So, walking with like a group of my girlfriends, like out on a Friday night, like no issues ever, never have to worry about like people coming and like shooting up a club, you know? So that's kind of nice. As far
it's
as
always
like
nice.
Being robbed goes, never yeah. worried about that.
That's
never
good.
Worried about that over here.
Well, you know, not St. Louis, but, you know, the United States, you know, we're like, everybody who couldn't make it everywhere else, we're like, okay, let's go try it over here, you know? So there's a lot of, I mean, you know, we got a lot of mental disorder. It just happens, you know? We're like, I mean, it's like going to America in the 1700s, like going to Mars today. It was like, I got this great idea.
Yeah.
Let's all get on a ship and go to an uninhabitable place and then try to live there. Sounds great, right? I'm on board.
Right.
Totally. No, I can see that. So, what's your favorite type of ice cream?
My favorite type of ice cream, either like butter pecan, or I have to say salted caramel pretzel. I have to have like a sweet and a salty.
I like that blend. That's a nice blend. So what's your favorite food?
Okay. Contrary to me being on like my summer diet and everything, if I had to live on one food for the rest of my life, it would be crab rangoon, which is so anticlimactic, but I love crab rangoon so much.
That's like one of the best things in the world, like ever in the history of ever. And did you know those were invented in St. Louis in 1964? Fun fact.
I did not know that.
And now you know.
Are you serious?
I'm not joking. They're not a Chinese dish. They're from St. Louis, and they were invented in 1964 for this big event downtown in the city. And this chef at the time, I can't remember his name, but they were invented in St. Louis. It's actually a St. Louis food.
Oh, well, that must be why I love it.
So, dogs or cats? What do you like?
Okay, dogs all the way. I've never met a cat that I could, like, just go up to and like pet and get along with. I don't know if I give off the vibe that like I don't like them, because I don't know, but I love dogs. I gotta go with dogs. And so I can't have like a dog, like a dog that's like a cat. I want a full grown, big, hairy, drooly dog. Those are my favorites.
I wonder if the cats, like you said, almost sense it. They're like, this person doesn't really care for us, so we're just gonna stay on our side of the house and they can have their side of the house.
How I feel like cats think. Like, I feel like they're just so, they know, they have attitudes, they're so sassy. So yeah, not for me.
Okay, so next question is, where did you grow up?
I grew up in St. Louis, obviously. I grew up in Chesterfield, which is like, that's the suburbs. I guess St. Louis City is only about like 25 minutes away from Chesterfield. So that was really nice, because the older I got, I spent a lot of time in the city. I didn't really like being in the suburbs at all. And hopefully someday I can move back to St. Louis and maybe live in the city or closer to it. But yeah, I love St. Louis. My St. Louis pride is crazy. I actually just met somebody over here in Germany who's also from St. Louis, and we were out at the bars, and we had this like whole big ordeal about how St. Louis is great. You know, we had a couple drinks, had to convince everybody at the table that like St. Louis was the best place to live. Like, don't forget about the toast and wraps. Like, yes.
So you were like the tourist brochure in Germany. So if we have all these Germans and like Americans from over there just showing up like in St. Louis, like, yeah, we're here for the toast and ravioli. Like, we know it's you.
Yeah, that's me, 100%. It's really funny, too, because whenever I joined the military, there are a lot of people from California and a lot of people from Texas. Mm-hmm. And everybody always was like, what part of California are you from? Because of the way I talk. And I was like, no, I just grew up a bunch of suburban, white, basic girls. That's where I got my voice. Totally from Missouri. Everybody's like, Missouri, that's like in the middle of like literally nowhere. And I'm like, yeah, but St. Louis, like we don't associate with Missouri. It's right. Just St. Louis.
No, that's, it's a thing. And it's interesting because we speak like this. And then people from California and Texas and New York and everywhere else have to fly to our area to learn how to speak like this. We didn't go to broadcasting school, ladies and gentlemen. This is just what we sound like. This is how we speak here in the center of the Midwest, like this. It is. It's true. No, it's real. I lived in Texas, and my cousins grew up in Texas, but obviously their parents were from St. Louis. So they speak like us. But they when they lived in Houston, I remember he used to get asked, oh, where are you from? And like, well, I'm from Houston, born and raised. And they'd be like, no, you're not. You don't sound like you're from Texas. It's like, no, really. I really am from Texas. Yeah, I know you don't believe me, but it's a true fact. So I think.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I feel like we've established your personality and who you are, where you're from, you know, your background, roots, and notes, and we've got a good handle on your personality to put this interview into context. So, Mia, who are you, and what exactly do you do?
Okay, well, I always have a really hard time answering the question, who are you? Because I know that it's so boring for people to just be like, oh, well, I'm Mia, and this is what I do. But that's how I'm going to answer this question. I'm Mia, and I'm a dental assistant in the United States Air Force. I've been active duty Air Force for 2.5 years now. So I signed a 6-year contract, so definitely not planning on reenlisting. I will be getting out in 6 years is good for me. But I work in pediatrics, which is actually really special because when I joined the military, I didn't actually know what my job was going to be when I went to basic training. I went in open general just because I was just ready to get out of the house and do something different. And a lot of girls actually in the flight that I was in, they got tasked to be security forces, which is like a military police, and like your hours are horrible and your job is horrible. So I got really lucky with dental. And it's funny because I definitely was not made to be in the medical career field whatsoever. Like the sight of blood makes me pass out. Wiggly teeth makes me, I just can't. And so I work in pediatrics, which is actually really great because growing up, I was a nanny in high school, like a lot of babysitting. I spent a lot of time with kids. And so I luckily got placed in pediatrics, and it's been really nice because I just get to clean kids' teeth. And then, you know, for the more serious situations, it's mostly just me like holding kids down and like making them take their meds and like gassing them with nitrous oxide to chill. Like that's pretty much what I do on a daily basis.
Holding children down and drugging them.
I do love- yes. It's great, though, because kids are just so honest, and so that's really great. It's entertainment all day long, really, is what it is. And I get to, you know, working with adults sometimes is just hard because you have to, like, pretend to be happy all the time, and you have to fake your customer service. But with kids, it's just so simple because most of the kids that I work with are just really playful and fun. So my job is awesome. I really love my job.
So would you say that you work on 100% military people and families, or 10%, or where are you at?
Yeah. So, actually, cause I work on the dental clinic on Ramstein is only for active duty, and reserve military. But we don't even really see any reserve patients. It's mostly active duty. And so, I'm just seeing active duty personnel, their children. And we only see kids up to age 7. So we see a lot of newborns. We see kids that don't even have teeth yet because we've got like helicopter mom, like, are the teeth okay? Like, well, your kid's 2 months old. Like, they're not going to have teeth yet. We'll look at their gums, you know.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, 100% military. Yeah, it's really funny. We got a lot of moms calling in and they'll be like, my kid chipped their fang. And I'm like, I think you mean to say they're canine. Snakes have fangs. Humans don't.
I'm just dying over here, okay? I'm sorry. I'm just picturing, like, this child with vampire fangs. Like, yes, my little son, his name's Dracula. I know, it sounds very strange. And
right.
Family name. But I was wondering if you could get little Dracky in there and check out his fang. He may have chipped it. It's a little stain. Could you bleach it while you're at it? It's got a little bit of blood on it. I mean, you just got to clean that off.
Yeah, that's pretty much. And we just have to be like, oh, man, that's actually, you know, not actually how that works. So, but yeah, it's really funny.
So, kids' teeth. Let's explore that for a second. Okay, so most terrifying picture I've ever seen on the internet was of a child's skull with the baby teeth out and then the human teeth in the top. I'm going to be honest, I thought it was a monster.
Yes.
It's terrifying. So if you're listening to this, Google it. Children's teeth, skull, just Google it on an image. It's terrifying because the adult teeth are in the head. And then there's a little, it looks like a shark monster. You know, like, it's terrifying.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. I take x-rays of that almost every day. And kids, I'll always ask, do you want to see your picture? And so you have the primary teeth that are already erupted and then all of the permanent teeth that they're going to have forever, you know, are underneath their gums. And so when they look at it, I mean, yeah, it's scary. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, crazy. Like, kids start, their wisdom teeth start forming when they're super young. And so it's like really interesting to look at all the x-rays, but yeah, kids are always like freaked out by that picture.
I would be too. There's an alien living in your head, you know, like it's terrifying.
That's literally what it looks like, yeah.
Okay, so you're a dentist assistant in the Air Force, so you're working in Germany. You've been there for 2.5 years. Now, have you been in Germany for 2.5 years?
No, so I've been in Germany for 2 years. Yep, so, and I'm actually moving back to the States in July. So, you only get to stay overseas for 2 years unless you are married and then your tour gets extended, but I am not, so I am leaving.
So would you say it's a good thing or a bad thing that you're leaving? Like, is it a positive thing? Like, did you have a good experience or are you going to be like homesick or what's going on there?
So I have loved my time in Europe. I actually am not a huge fan of Germany, but I've gotten to travel to so many places. I've been to Croatia, I've been to Switzerland, I've been to Spain, I've been to Prague, you know, Paris, obviously. So I've gotten to do a lot of traveling, which has been such an amazing blessing, great opportunity. Obviously, I probably wouldn't have that opportunity any other way. But I have seen everything I want to see. I have a couple more trips planned. I'm going to Greece in June. And then I'm going to go back to Croatia because that's like my favorite place in the world. And then I'm going to go to Italy because I haven't been to Italy yet. And then I'll come home. And I think I'm just ready to be back in the States. Living in Germany is very inconvenient. They just haven't updated their lifestyle at all. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as, you know, cash all the time. It's just like little inconveniences that really are just like for instance, on Sundays, it's quiet hours, like all day, like you can't like mow your lawn. So, and I think they have like a lot of like good things behind it. Like, I don't necessarily like care about mowing my lawn on a Sunday, but it's like, you know, if I am cleaning my house and want to blast music, my neighbors will call the cops and I'll get a fine. And that's like a lot of, because we live in Germany, not a lot of the Germans are fond of us being over here. And so between like protests to get us to leave and just them calling the cops on us for stupid shit, it's just like, you know, I'm ready to go back to the land of Target and Chick-fil-A.
So it's like, you know, they lost the war and then communism happened and they're cross about the whole setup. And they're like, look, okay, just go away. Just, you're obnoxious. You're dirty. We just want to card catalog everything and organize things by color and size. Can you please go away now?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. And I get it. But, I mean, where the German base is, like, the German economy over here would be nothing without us. Because we are consumers and they really are not. And so we'll just go out and we'll just be like, Aldi, I need all the things on the shelves. I'm going to buy the whole store. And like Germans don't do that. So
right.
We're, you know, putting a lot of money into their community. So,
you know, I'm ready
to come home. Being away from my family has been super hard for me. I love my family, but I've also just been like really independent for a long time. But I'm just like excited for American food again, honestly, because I wasn't a fan of German food over here either. Like a lot of the other, okay, Döner is amazing. It's not actually German though. It's Turkish. I don't know if you know about Döner.
Of course I do. Come on.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Döner's freaking amazing. I will definitely miss the Döner. But other than that, like, I went to Spain and tried their, it starts with a P. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a dish. It's like rice. And I think they just like go out on a boat and they put a net into the water and whatever they catch, they just throw it on top of your rice. Wasn't a fan of that. It was a little too like wild tasting. I just am so basic really. And like, I just miss like Chick-fil-A and Target. And I just want to eat like, oh, McDonald's over here though. Really amazing. It's like top notch, and it's expensive too.
Really? Because like,
yeah, they have like chicken Caesar salad wraps on their menu over here.
Ew.
Like that's not a thing in America as far as I know.
No, it's I don't think it is. I mean, McDonald's is by far one of my favorite businesses of all time, just for no other reason than they adapt to the market. They set trends. They can do things for prices that no one else can do. Like right now in the United States, they're doing a triple cheeseburger for $2. And I don't understand how they can even do it. And then they're doing Cokes, large Cokes for $1. And then you get like a fry. So like me and Jess can go out and eat at McDonald's for like $6 for the two of us. And I have no idea how they do it. But they do it. And they do it well. And they do it fast. And it's a whole thing. Like I really wish though they bring like from the Middle East, they have the McFalafel. And I love falafel. So I'm like, please bring that. I would eat that all day. Like, especially for Lent on Fridays when I can't eat meat, please bring the McFalafel. I eat
yes.
I can't eat Filet-O-Fish all day. McFalafel.
Oh my God.
So it's really interesting you brought up the German food. So I'm going to be honest. My extent of the knowledge of German cuisine is limited to bratwursts, hot dogs, technically hamburgers, spätzle, strudel. Well, Danishes are from Denmark, so they're not even German. General pastry, lots of apple dishes, and that's really it. That's really, I mean, like, oh, and Sauerbraten, which aside from that, I don't really know too much about German cuisine aside from general continental recipes, but general continental recipes are just French recipes, really. So have you had anything in Germany, or was it like...
Yeah, no. So I absolutely like indulged in all of the German things when I first got here, like any basic girl from America would.
Sure.
So I did the whole Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest is the best place to try everything because you've got the bratwurst and they give you this like bun. They basically give you a hamburger bun for your bratwurst, and the bun is actually like, it's like a roll and it's like hard as a brick. And like they have these big, big like platters. They're like grilled, but they're hanging and they turn and they put like hundreds of sausages and bratwurst, and they'll do like pork steaks on them, and they just grill all day long. They're just flipping them, serving them. And because like, well, contrary to what everyone thinks basic training is like, I gained 20 pounds, not of muscle. It was all you can eat 3 times a day. I put peanut butter and syrup on my French toast every morning with 2 bowls of cereal and sausage and bacon. And for lunch, I would have cheeseburgers, and it was a mess. So I gained a lot of weight in tech school. And so when I got to Germany, mind you, all these European women are like, you can't compete, and they're in great shape for no reason at all. And
is it all the walking?
I came over, I indulged in all the German foods for about a month, and then I was like, okay, enough is enough. But I will say, like, I ate a lot of pork when I first got here, obviously. It's all pork. Like, I don't even think I've ever had a beef dish here. I don't even think there is, like, a beef dish in German. It's just all pork.
Sign me up.
Like, pig schnitzel, the Jaeger schnitzel, like, the pork steaks with, like, the gravy and the mushrooms. Like, oh, my God. So good. So good. And they'll serve it with, like, French fries. And then here, too. Well, I know that it's a thing in America. I just never did it. But, like, every time you order French fries, they're going to give you mayonnaise and ketchup. And some people don't even dip it. Like, people don't use ketchup. Like, ketchup is not a German thing at all. You have to ask for it sometimes. But 100% of the time when you order fries, they will give you a side of mayonnaise.
That's very Canadian. That's what they do in Canada, too. Like, they dip it in mayonnaise, which it's a heavy food that you're dipping into a heavy food, which is kind of weird to me.
Right, and then they serve it with a big pork, like, huge. Like, the serving sizes here are huge. They'll serve it with a big pork steak and all the gravies and the mushrooms, and then they'll bring you this, like, liter of beer.
Very reasonable.
Like, it's so much. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a whole lot.
That sounds like a very, very, like, reasonable diet, you know, like, yeah, you know, it's a 1 pound pork steak, it's a quart of beer, you know, it's good for your heart, very healthy, you know, like,
yeah. And that's the typical, you know, German dinner. But I will say Germany has the best salads that I have ever had, ever, like, anywhere. You order a salad at an American restaurant and they've got, you know, like, some nuts and seeds and cheese and maybe some fruits, but, like, here, well, a lot of restaurants have, like, a salad bar that you go to. Like, nicer restaurants have a salad bar and it comes with the meal, so you'll get up and you get your salad, and they've got all these different greens, and they have this yogurt salad dressing that is, it sounds like really gross, but it's amazing. I actually should get the recipe because it's so amazing. And then they have just, like, all these peppers and all these, like, weird vegetables and fruits, like, you've never seen. Like, so their salads are great. So that's good because I had to switch over the salad. Sure. But
I make a yogurt dressing for salad, actually. I'm not even sure if I'm saying this correctly, but there's a sauce in Greek called tzatziki sauce. And it's a Greek yogurt, a little bit of honey.
That's, like, the base is tzatziki sauce.
Yeah, and that's what I do, is I do that, and then I stuff it full of, I basically stuff the yogurt full of lettuce and red onions and cucumbers and grape tomatoes and some other stuff, and then it's great. And then you could put that cold over rice, which is even better, which is just absolutely fantastic.
That sounds really good.
So I'm going to move the conversation a little more personal. Why the Air Force? Why'd you choose the Armed Forces, and why'd you choose the Air Force of all the branches?
Yeah, so this is actually a really funny story that everybody totally can predict. But whenever I was a senior in high school, my plan was to rush a sorority, go to, you know, Mizzou is where I wanted to go to school. And I was working, it was the summer after I graduated high school, and I was working at Lifetime Fitness, and I just, like, did not know what I wanted to study. And I thought forever I wanted to be an adoption attorney. And so I was going to go to school, study political science, and then go to grad school, get my law degree, do all that. And I had a conversation with one of my bosses at Lifetime Fitness, and he was just like, you are too spunky to be a lawyer. Like, you, and, like, also, I hate school. Like, unless I'm learning exactly what I want to be learning, like, peace out. Like, I'm not interested. And so he was just like, I don't see you, like, enjoying your life as a lawyer. And he was somebody that I super respected, and I really respected his opinion. And my dad had always told me that, but I was just like, you're just a hater. Like, you don't want to hear things like that from your parents, like, oh, you're not going to like that. You know what I mean? Because you think that they're, like, not encouraging you.
They're challenging you.
I walked in, right. So I walked into my dad's office and I was like, hey, I had a conversation with one of my coworkers today. Like, I don't know what I want to do anymore. I don't know if I want to spend all this money going to school right now, not knowing what I want to do. Maybe I can just go to a community college and get some gen eds out of the way. So I went to community college for like a semester. It was horrible because I was just hanging out with a lot of other people who decided not to go to school, but just like not making wise choices, mm-hmm. like wasn't going to go anywhere if I continued hanging out with these people and doing the things that I was doing. So my dad was like, why don't you just join the military? And I was like, what? Like,
yeah, cause I didn't think that you would ever do that. I like knowing you growing as a kid, you were in band. I never thought that the kid in band would be in the Air Force. I was like, whoa, that's a weird switch there, you know?
Well, even funnier, I was actually in orchestra. Like, those people go to Ivy League schools and, like, study economics. Like, I definitely was not, like, I was not cut out for the military. And still, every day I wake up and I'm like, what did I do? No, I'm just But I had a conversation with my dad. He told me to join the military. And I was just like, he like totally sold it to me. I mean, he might be a recruiter and just like never told me. He was like, well, why don't we just go talk to a recruiter? And you know, they've got like all these posters of these like big spec ops men, like young, attractive. And I was like, sign me up for that. Like, that's where I want to be. Wherever those guys are, that's where I want you to send me. That's like boy crazy. And so, and then he started talking about, obviously, like the education benefits. Like, I really don't have to pay anything for school. And that's amazing. I get tuition assistance and I have the GI Bill, which allows me to finish my education when I get out of the military. Though I am, when I move back to the States, going to start taking classes and finish my bachelor's degree, just because I feel like the longer I'm out of school, I just feel like the things that come out of my mouth are like more stupid. And so I just need to get back into the rhythm of school, which is going to be very interesting. It sucks because like a lot of my friends right now are actually, you know, graduating with their bachelor's and I am like not there at all. So it sucks because I'm behind a little bit, but now I know what I want to do. I'm not going to have debt, which is huge. I've got to travel around Europe for the last 2 years. My next assignment, it's in Biloxi, Mississippi, but hear me out. Destin, Florida is 2 hours away and New Orleans is 45 minutes away. So we'll make it work. It's going to be great. I've never lived anywhere warm before, so I'm actually really excited to like enjoy the beach and stuff. It's going to be interesting. But yeah, I joined the military really just for the opportunities and I got all of them. So, I mean, I didn't get a shitty job. I've done everything I've wanted to do over here. I've seen things I would have never seen otherwise. So, I don't regret joining the military, but I will not reenlist. I know that.
So would you say that, would you recommend it? Would you say that, you know, like this is something that if you don't know what you want to do with your life, this is a good way to figure out, give yourself the time to figure out. Because one of the things I always say is that we shouldn't be telling 18-year-old kids, go get this $60,000 degree. Go spend 4 to 6 years of your life figuring out what you want. Oh, and by the way, rack up $20,000 a year while you're at it. You should figure out what you want to do in your life and then go do it. So would you say that this gave you that opportunity?
More than that, friend. They're $100,000. They don't have it. That's so... it's so scary, you know, to be so young and not have security like that. And then also, now that I've lived on my own, and the thing too with being in the military is, okay, I'm getting paid. My parents have not supported me in 2.5 years. And it's nice because when I go home, it's not like, you know, it's not like, hey, you need to do this. Hey, you need to do that. You know, like I've gained that respect from my parents, which was something that I thought was going to be challenging. But once you start paying your own bills, it's pretty much a free-for-all. So that's really nice.
Yeah, and you always have the added bonus of, you know, every year on Veterans Day, you get to get a nice little text message from me that says, hey, thank you for your service. I really appreciate it. And then you'll be like, Ryan, it's Tuesday in June. You don't need to be sending this to me. It's not Veterans Day. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Ryan, I brushed 3-4-year-old's teeth today. Don't worry about it. It's good.
You've served your country. You've suffered. So have you ever had any injuries from your experiences as a dental assistant? Anyone bite you? Any like bleeding?
Yes. I've been bit. Actually just yesterday, this is an injury physically, but to my soul, it hurt. I was trying to take x-rays on this 4-year-old. She was very feisty. She was screaming and crying. That's another thing. I probably have a hearing loss because I mean, kids scream at the dentist. Adults don't like going to the dentist. So, I mean, it's not that much better for kids. Anyways, this little girl growled at me. She like hissed at me and I was like, I just want to take your picture and make sure your teeth are healthy. No cavity bugs. That's what they say. And she was like, grr. And like her mom didn't do anything either, which was kind of upsetting. Cause I was like, hey, like if it were my kid and she were like growling at somebody, I would be like, you better stop. But that wasn't the case. And so she growled at me for like 5 minutes. And then finally I had to bribe her with like stickers and she asked me for candy. And I was like, that's not how the dental clinic works, honey. But yeah, so there's just like a lot of sass, really. Like little girls are not my favorite. I do not prefer working with little girls because they are just full of sass and yeah, not fun.
So have you ever pulled anything weird or gross out of someone's mouth?
Yeah, well, a lot of times in pediatrics, a lot of times I say pedo and people are like, what are you talking about? Pediatrics. We pull just like teeth and that grosses me out so much because when you're training, to be in a specialty section, which pediatrics is one, there's oral surgery and orthodontics, periodontics. In oral surgery, I passed out almost every time people got their wisdom teeth taken out because I just can't do it. I can't do the blood, you know, and they're awake. And so I just medical is not for me. So even just like pulling out somebody's wiggly tooth, like I don't look and I have to take a deep breath. And whenever I know the next day I've got extractions on my schedule, I eat a big breakfast because I literally get lightheaded. So, and like kids will come in all the time and be like, look at my wiggly tooth. And I'm like, don't show me. I don't want to do it.
No, my one weakness. They didn't prepare me for this basic training. No.
Seriously. Like, I was tear gassed in basic, and that was like, whatever. But like, wiggly teeth, like, I can't do it. Right.
Yeah, that's fine. You want to shoot some bullets towards me? I'm okay with that. I'll get a bagel afterwards, you know. But you show me one wiggly tooth. That's it. You want to overtake Ramstein Air Force Base. That's it. Mia Johnson, right there. Show her a wiggly tooth. Everyone exactly. can get in. Oh, like, no, I'll not the wiggly wall. Tooth.
Yeah, for real. It's unfortunate.
So how many people do you know, I know that there's security issues with this kind of question, so I don't want to talk too much in general, just in general. How many people do you think you work with at the clinic? You know, how many people do you see a day? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so my squadron is huge. Okay, so there's probably like 250 enlisted members. Because Ramstein Air Base is huge. I mean, we have tens of thousands of Americans living in this vicinity. And so we call it the KMC, the Kaiser Slaughter and Military Community. And there are tens of thousands of Americans that live here. So, you know, we need a lot of people to work on a lot of people's teeth. So there's probably 200 to 300 enlisted members. And then we have probably like 50 to 100 officers. So those are the doctors. And pediatrics is a small team. And actually, it's really funny. The doctor that I did work with just sewed on full birds. So he's a colonel. He's made it. He's chilling. And he was scheduled to have a surgery. And so he was scheduled to have surgery on his foot. And so he and his guy friends went on a trip to Spain to go cycling. And he broke his hand. Which, as a dentist, that's huge, right? And then we only had pediatric dentists. for tens of thousands of children. And so right now we're just down to one doc and three techs, and that is horrible. It's really fun. So yeah, we have a lot of people calling, and we're like scheduled out for like 2 months. So yeah, there are so many people that I work with and work for and work around. Yeah, it's a big base.
That's absolutely hilarious because, like you said, like as a chef, there are a couple things I really need. I really need my eyes. I really need my nose, my sense of taste, and I absolutely have to have my hands. Like, you could cut off my legs tomorrow and stick me on a stump, I'd be okay. You know, you could just, like, strap me to, like, some kind of thing that would move, and as long as I have my arms, I could still do my job by and large. But, like, a dentist, that's the same thing. That's all hand. That's, like, that's not something you can just do.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
you got to be in there poking and
without
you. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, that sucks. So what would you say that the most challenging aspect of your job is?
I would say the military itself is it's challenging because politics and being in such a big base, you know, we're all competing for rank and, you know, a pay raise and quarterly awards because that's the military, because you have to show out. And so it's really hard being in a clinic with so many people my age competing for the same thing. I am not competitive at all. I would rather just say, you have it. I'm good with me. I know I'm doing a good job. I don't need a plaque or something on a piece of paper that tells me I am. But that is not acceptable. And so it's just really challenging for me, as I'm a very extroverted person personally, but internally I feel like I don't care about competition and I don't care about winning, which is something that the military has actually taught me a little bit, because I have to, which is a good thing to have. It's good to know your worth and compete for your worth, but I just am not a competitive person. And so that's been really challenging for me to kind of show out and show people who my authentic self is and what I am passionate about, because everybody else is doing the same thing. And so how am I unique from all these hundreds of other people?
Well, you know, the key to being unique today is having more than X amount of Instagram followers. You know, as long as you have more Instagram followers than them, you're okay. At least that's my experience. I don't know if that's similar.
Yeah, and I didn't actually know. I thought people like joked about like buying your followers, but you can actually buy followers. And I had no idea.
You can?
Yeah, I feel like this year. Oh, I was just going to say this year, like whenever I move back to the States, like I want to start, so I'm like really into nutrition and fitness right now. And so I want to start like being a brand ambassador for like certain companies. But I'm like, why though? To have more followers so that people like me more? Like, why? You know, I can't come up with like a humble reason why. So I don't know.
Well, not to be your PR guy, but the whole idea is that you should never buy them, because what you're doing is you're making you become the product, right? And you can't buy fake accounts to give you likes for a product that doesn't exist, right? So you're trying to make yourself, and this is what happened with me, is I do me. And because people like to hear me and like to hear me talk and my thoughts, people just follow me naturally, you know, and I interact with people and that grows the brand as well. And so it's the same thing for you. So you do the account of the fitness and the nutrition. Hey, I'm Mia. This is what Mia's fit account or whatever, right? And then what you'd be doing is you'd just take pictures and videos and show people how you do it. And as you do it, you get better at it. People naturally share you to their friends and interact with you, and that'll naturally grow it. And that is what has value. The number account has no value whatsoever, because, you know, if you're a brand ambassador, they're trying to get you to sell things to people. And so, but yeah, it's a whole weird business. Instagram, social media, influencer business. It's weird. It's really weird.
It is. And it's like blown up so much in the last couple of years. I have so many friends in college that are just like, I mean, they have tons of followers because they're brand ambassadors for these dope companies. And like, that's really cool. But like, for what? You know?
I don't know. They got to be profiting. Someone has to be making money in some way. I'd prefer it to be
they're
me.
They're both making money. Yeah. It's free marketing.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I get it.
I mean, people send me food.
Yes.
They send me food to try and seasonings,
that's
which I
perfect.
Love. Which is perfect. Exactly. You know,
that's
I'm a
amazing.
Chef. It makes
yeah.
sense. So, I really feel like we've encompassed, like, pretty much every question that I came up with just in a randomized order, which is fantastic. So, I think the last formal question I have to ask you is, why is it important for the world to have dental care? Especially,
yeah.
you know, sorry.
No, go for it.
So, as I say, especially, like, you know, you've been living in Europe and trying different foods and doing all these different things, and you know, it occurs to me that, like, if you didn't have teeth, it'd be hard to eat. But are there some other reasons that you can come up with from your perspective and your experience?
Yeah. So, firstly, it actually helps us identify where people are from. Because when you go to Germany and, okay, I'm really sorry if anybody is, like, German and offended by this, but, like, yo, have you seen their teeth? Like, they are messed up a little bit. And, like, Americans just, like, our teeth are not as bad. So that's one thing. It helps us distinguish where somebody's from. And to be more serious, you know, a lot of, like, infections in other places of your body that you would never even imagine can happen, starting with your teeth. So it's just really important to have good dental care. And I know, like, a lot of people don't. And the one thing I will say is that the German healthcare system is much better than the American healthcare system. You can pretty much walk in anywhere and give them some cash and be like, okay, thank you for fixing my teeth. It's not how it works in America, but I think just, you know, and I didn't know anything about dental care whenever I joined the military. So the little bit of knowledge that I do have now, I would just say that, teeth help you eat and food is so important.
I like it. I think that is a good thing to, close the formal part of the interview with. So you're not going to continue in the Air Force. You said after your 6 years is up, you're going to bounce on into regular life. So what would you say after that? What's your next steps? What are your dreams? What are your goals? What do you want to do with your life?
Yeah, so I plan on getting my bachelor's degree, finishing that while I'm in. And then I think I want to be a physical therapist. I think that's what I want to do. I'm really into, like, health and nutrition right now. And so I thought about occupational therapy just to kind of give it, like, a more well-rounded kind of base, but I think with just, like, working out and just figuring out how, like, your muscles and your bones work and being able to rehabilitate people and just, like, help people is what I really want to do. And so I think if I'm interested in that, like, going to work every day is just going to be, like, a blast for me. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my degree in physical therapy, and I really would love to move back to St. Louis. My, like, St. Louis basic girl dream is to live in the Central West End with, like, my husband who went to WashU. No, I'm just kidding.
That is the most basic white girl dream I've ever heard in my entire life. And he wears boat shoes and polos, right?
Yep, and we've got, like, a golden retriever, right, yeah. And, you know, the full nine yards.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Mia Johnson, dental assistant in the U.S. Air Force, not forever. Do you want to go ahead and plug your Instagram account, or do you want to keep that kind of secret still?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's plug my Instagram.
All right. So what is it?
Yeah. So ironically enough, my username is MJSTL for Mia Johnson, St. Louis.
All right, Mia. Thank you so much for being on the People Behind Your Food. Next week, we'll have Deb Ace, who is a lunch lady, which is super exciting, and I'm really excited to have her on. And so thank you very much for being on People Behind Your Food. I'll see you guys next week.